Now, I've been joined once more by Brian Hughes from Shenfield-based solicitors Rayner Hughes. So hello, welcome, and Happy New Year to you, Brian.
Well, it's good to be back.
Yes, as long as we can hear you, it's really good. Now, on your last visit here, Brian, you talked about the law as it pertains to trespass. And today you're going to be looking at a related issue concerning invitees and licensees. So perhaps we could start by an explanation of just what is meant by these terms.
Well, that's right, Scott. It's a bit complicated, but last time I mentioned that there are three ways in which a person gains access to land and property, namely as a trespasser, a licensee, or an invitee, but I concentrated on trespass. As I said last time, although trespass is unlawful, it's not a criminal offence, but it is a civil offence, and this does therefore take away some of the rights that people who enter land or property lawfully enjoy. Under common law, occupiers of land own a limited duty of care to all lawful visitors, whether they be invitees or friends. Visitors can either be contractual entrants, where liability depends on the contract, invitees, such as customers who are to be protected from unusual dangers, licensees being people who enter for any other lawful purpose, who are to be protected from concealed dangers, or trespassers who are to be protected from intentional harm or recklessness. Confusingly, licensees can receive an invitation to enter premises, and I'll talk about that later.
Right. It's very complicated. I'm glad I asked. So how does a person become an invitee?
The relationship of invitor and invitee arises when there's a mutual interest or common purpose between the owner or occupier, the visitor, the invitor, and the individual who enters the premises, like the postman or even a supermarket. It's not necessary that in every case there should be an express contract in order to create the relationship of invitor or invitee. There's a duty on the occupier to take reasonable care to prevent injury to an invitee from an unusual danger.
All right, so what about licensees?
Well, licensees have to be protected from concealed dangers. While following a change in the law in 1984, the common duty of care was extended to cover trespassers, but only insofar as the occupier has an actual or constructive knowledge that a danger exists.
Now, I can tell you, I can't get my head around all this, Brian. So I need to get some examples.
Well, okay. In the case of trespassers, there have been cases, for example, where young children have found a gap in a fence by the side of a railway track, have gone through and been electrocuted by the railway line or killed by a train. The railway company would have known that the danger existed.
But surely there's got to be some kind of defence for such an eventuality.
Yes, there is, but it all depends on the circumstances. A duty is owed where the occupier or owner is aware or has reasonable grounds to be aware of a danger, and the risk is one against which the occupier or owner should reasonably be expected to provide some protection. Now, the duty of care may be covered by warnings and discouragements and must make the risk obvious to the trespasser. In the case of children, however, warning notices are often considered inadequate because children may not be able to read a warning notice or appreciate the danger. An occupier must therefore take precautions for children who are less careful than adults.
So what other defences might there be?
Well, you can't be liable for an injury happening to an ill-willing person. And there's a famous case of a person who slid down the banisters of a Wetherspoons pub after drinking too much and suffered a fracture in his spine. The pub wasn't liable because the injury had been consented to. There's also, of course, the defence of contributory negligence.
Now, you've talked a lot about unlawful trespass, but what about invitees and licensees? What about someone who goes onto another's land or into his or her property lawfully?
Now, this is where the law becomes somewhat complicated.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Can it get more complicated?
Well, you have to determine whether the person is a licensee or an invitee. Confusingly, as I've said, an invitee is not someone to whom you send an invitation. Someone to whom you send an invitation is, in fact, a licensee. In the circumstances, it's best to look at licensees and invitees from the point of view of the occupier's or owner's liability towards them and the ability of the licensee or invitee to sue for compensation if they injure themselves. And as I've already said, there's a duty of care on occupiers to ensure that all lawful visitors are reasonably safe for the purpose for which they're on the occupier's premises. So, for example, a guest attending a party in your house mm-hmm. who would be a licensee, even although they've received an invitation, they're still a licensee, mm-hmm. in his or her search for the loo had fallen down a step in a corridor which was unlit because a light bulb had blown and the guest had injured himself or herself in the dark, he or she might be able to claim compensation. That, in lawyers' jargon, is a concealed trap. Not necessarily a deliberate or even positive act by the owner or something that could cause injury, but something that could cause injury. The liability of the house owner is not absolute, however, if the house owner could show the court that he had no idea that the light bulb had blown. There might also be an argument, which would be seized on by the insurers, that the guest contributed to his or her own injury by being so inebriated that he or she wouldn't have noticed the step even if the light had been working. But had they slipped on a carpet, they would not be able to sue because that would be not be classified as a concealed trap or danger, okay? Mm-hmm. But conversely, had such an incident occurred in a shop or supermarket where the visitor was an invitee, the injured party would be on stronger grounds to make a claim, as the shop owner has a duty of management of care in the management of the premises to protect a customer from unusual danger. In the same way, as I've already said, there's a duty of care by householders to take reasonable care to protect invitees, such as postmen, from unusual danger.
Now, we just touched on, because who knows, we could get snow. If a postman was to slip on the ice outside, am I right in thinking that you would be on, say, slippery ground if you had actually cleared the path, whereas if they just walked across the snow, which you hadn't cleared, you would actually be on stronger ground? Is that right?
I think... Well, we've got to think about this, because what happens if there's ice on the drive?
Mm.
If there's ice on the drive and you've cleared the snow, okay.
Then you've got a problem.
Then no, you haven't got a problem.
Oh, really?
No, because that's not a concealed danger.
Really?
Because it's obvious, isn't it?
Well, it may not be. It could be black ice. You can't see that.
Well, here we go. I mean, this is where lawyers make all their money, by litigating this sort of thing.
Yes.
I wouldn't care to say if you'd cleared the snow off the drive
as best you could,
then you will have removed a concealed danger, won't you?
Yes, but you might have created another one.
Yeah. Now that's
going. But it would be an obvious danger if you hadn't cleared the snow, because they're going to walk through the snow, and then would not necessarily, they would be aware that they've got to walk very carefully.
Yes, of course. I mean, there's contributory negligence if you don't take reasonable steps to protect yourself. There's always that...
Because an elderly resident wouldn't probably be able to get out there with a shovel and clear the snow.
No. You're probably better off not to clear the snow at all.
Yes, right. Okay. I really had no idea it was such a complex issue. Many thanks again for once again guiding us through the mire. So have you decided on the subject you'll be covering next time?
I'll just say that the law books are full of cases of invitees mm-hmm. and licensees mm-hmm. and what the dangers are and what the liabilities are. It's an absolute... Well, it's a wonderful area for lawyers, litigation lawyers, which I'm not. But as you've asked me about the next subject, I thought post-Christmas we might look at debt.
Yes.
Or even bankruptcy.
Which you might be bankrupt if you're taken to court. Postman.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we look forward to that. Thanks very much indeed, Brian. That'll be coming up in February sometime.
That's right.
Good stuff. We look forward to that. Thank you very much.
Great pleasure.